Welcome to Truth for Today. The subject for our consideration today is, Why is Jesus in Heaven Now? Our speaker is Ernie Brown.
We learn from Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 12, that a threefold cord is not quickly broken. Our own experience knows that to be true. Building on that, we can readily accept that each additional strand increases the overall strength of a cord or rope, so that a sevenfold cord will be very strong indeed. I want to bring before you from the Bible a sevenfold spiritual cord of immense strength, namely, seven reasons why the Lord Jesus is in heaven now. There might well be others, but I will be satisfied if you accept these seven. In doing so, we shall provide ourselves with substantial answers to the question, what difference does it make that Jesus is in heaven now? Putting together what I have in mind, I can summarize what I have to say in this simple way. Number one, Jesus is in heaven now because of who he is in the glory of his person. Number two, Jesus is in heaven now because of what he is inherently in himself, his moral perfection. Number three, Jesus is in heaven now because of how he lived here in this world. Heaven is the only appropriate terminus of the perfect life that he lived. Number four, Jesus is in heaven now because of the work he did upon the cross of Calvary at the end of his life here in this world. Number five, Jesus is in heaven now because of what he is presently doing as God's high priest above, in heaven, in the very presence of God. Number six, Jesus is in heaven now because of where we are going. He is our forerunner in heaven. Number seven, Jesus is in heaven now because of what he will be in all his glory in his future universal supremacy in his kingdom, the kingdom of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Each of these points is sufficient in itself. Together, they give us every confidence for understanding and accepting that the Lord Jesus Christ, Creator of the universe, Saviour of the world, has every right and reason to be in heaven at this very moment. This is for the glory of God, the honour of the Lord Jesus, and for the present and eternal blessing of all of us who have trusted him as our Saviour and confessed him as our Lord. The vital necessity of his present presence in heaven and the difference that it makes will emerge as we do so. Let us go through them one by one. Reason number one, Jesus is in heaven now because of who he is in the glory of his person. Scripture abounds with clear references to the deity of our Lord Jesus Christ. Even before he came into the world, the prophet Isaiah spoke of him as the mighty God. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. Having come into the world, the apostle John says of him, the Word was God. John chapter 1 and verse 1. Paul says of him in Colossians chapter 1, verse 13, he is the image of the invisible God. That is, he is indeed God, the very God. The Epistle to the Hebrews tells us in chapter 1, verses 1 to 3, God has spoken in his Son. And again, he is the brightness of the glory of God, the exact expression of his substance. In Romans chapter 9 and verse 5, Paul refers to the Lord Jesus as Christ, who is over all, God blessed for evermore. Heaven is God's dwelling place, his very home. Because Jesus is God, he has every right to be in heaven because of who he is in the glory of his own person. Reason number two. Jesus is in heaven now because of what he is, his moral perfection. In Luke's Gospel, chapter 10, we read about a religious lawyer, a specialist in the knowledge and interpretation of the law of Moses. In verse 25, we are told that he stood up and had the audacity to try to put the Lord Jesus on the spot by asking him, "Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" The Lord Jesus said to him, in effect, "You're the expert. You tell me. What does the law say? How do you understand it?" The lawyer gave a word-perfect answer. "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy strength and with all thy mind, and thy neighbour as thyself." You couldn't get a better summing up of what God requires from man than that. The Lord gave him full credit. "Thou hast rightly said." What didn't arise in that discussion, but is clear in so many scriptures, is the fact that of all the people that have ever lived on earth, only one person has ever fulfilled those criteria in full, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. There are many scriptures which develop the theme of the moral perfection of the Lord Jesus. The Word of God gives us types, illustrations, parables, allegories, and of course many clear statements to establish this beyond any possible doubt. To mention only a few, there is the manna in Exodus 16, the meal offering in Leviticus chapter 2, many of the Psalms, particularly Psalm 16, the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and the consistent teaching of the New Testament epistles. Each confirms in its own way that the Lord Jesus was and is completely without any flaw or moral imperfection that could rightly exclude him from his presence in heaven. To pick out one example, Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 9, quoting from Psalm 45 verse 7, says, "Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity." Overall, only of the Lord Jesus can it be rightly said that there is absolutely no trace of anything that could exclude him from the presence of God in heaven because of any imperfection or flaw. Certainly, there was never any semblance of sin that can be attributed to the thoughts, words, or deeds of the Lord Jesus. The Apostle John says in his first epistle, chapter 3, verse 5, "In him is no sin." The Apostle Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21, "He knew no sin." 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 22 gives us Peter's statement, "He did no sin." Reason number three. Jesus is in heaven now because of how he lived. It is the only appropriate terminus of the perfect life that he lived here in this world. Under the previous heading, we considered what was true of the Lord Jesus inherently, his moral perfection in himself, altogether apart from what he did in practice. Moving on from there, as a separate, distinct matter, it is also true that in the life that he lived on earth day by day, there was nothing in anything that he did or said that showed any fault or imperfection, and certainly no trace of sin. In other words, what he was inherently in himself was confirmed in everything he did while living on earth. We have already thought about the tributes by the apostles John, Peter, and Paul. Now think about what even his enemies and general observers were obliged to say about him at the end of his life. Three times over, the Roman governor Pilate had to say, "I find no fault in him at all." In Luke's Gospel, chapter 23, verse 41, we read that one of those crucified with him said, "This man hath done nothing amiss." The centurion responsible for ensuring that all was done properly glorified God, saying, "Certainly, this was a righteous man." Luke's Gospel, chapter 23, and verse 47. In the Epistle to the Hebrews, there is a peculiarly appropriate comment in chapter 12 and verse 2. "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." This statement gives us a delightful thought. Heaven is the only appropriate terminus for the perfect life that the Lord Jesus lived on earth. There was nothing at all that emerged in his perfect life that could in any way justify his exclusion from heaven. Indeed, in a most positive way, his perfect life was a wonderful additional reason in itself for the presence of Jesus in heaven now, not only because it is his home in virtue of his deity, but also now additionally as a man, perfect in all his ways. What a comment on his spotless life on earth, that the only appropriate terminus for such a life was and is to be seated at the right hand of the throne of God in heaven. Reason number four. Jesus is in heaven now because of what he did upon the cross of Calvary at the end of his life here in this world. The creation of the world was in itself a mighty work. However, it was brought into being that it might be the platform for an even greater work. That was the work of the cross, the work of Calvary. Scripture plainly teaches that this was in itself a substantive reason for the present presence of Jesus in heaven. Philippians 2 verses 8 and 9 tell us, "Being found in fashion as a man, Jesus humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name." We are further told in Hebrews 1 verse 3, "Who, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high." Then again in chapter 10 verse 12, "This man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins, forever sat down on the right hand of God." There couldn't be a greater tribute to the perfection of the work of Christ in dying at Calvary than that. Reason number five. Jesus is in heaven now because of what he is presently doing as God's high priest above. In 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 7 we are told, "Cast every care upon him," Jesus, "because he careth for you." What a privilege! And yet, this is only half of the story. The Epistle to the Hebrews, above all books in the New Testament, describes and amplifies what this involves. From the middle of chapter 2 up to the end of chapter 7, we are taught in detail about how the Lord's priestly grace is available to us to help us at any time, any place, in any situation. Chapter 8 onwards to almost the end of chapter 10 teaches that he relieves us of all the pain and distress that we experience in this life, so that he can conduct us into the very presence of God, a praising and worshipping people. In Hebrews chapter 8 verse 2, he is called the minister of the sanctuary. That is, he is like the composer of a major symphony, who then steps personally onto the podium and conducts a huge orchestra, blending together the contributions of all the varied instruments, large and small, in one grand, majestic harmony. Reason number 6. Jesus is in heaven now because of where we are going. He is our forerunner. When the Lord Jesus was preparing his disciples for his departure from them to return to heaven, he said, "I go to prepare a place for you." John's Gospel, chapter 14, verse 3. The questions might arise in our minds. How long did it take the Lord to prepare that place? Is that work of preparation completed? The answer to both questions is quite simple. Oh yes, the work is indeed completed. And for a very good reason. The work of Christ upon the cross of Calvary prepares us for a place in heaven. And his presence in heaven prepares the place for us to be there. The Epistle to the Hebrews is thus able to state with full assurance, our forerunner is for us entered into heaven, even Jesus. Hebrews chapter 6. And verse 20. Reason number 7. Jesus is in heaven now because of what he will be in all his glory as King of Kings and Lord of Lords in his future universal supremacy in the kingdom of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. We learn from Acts chapter 17 and verse 31. God hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. Again in Philippians 2 verses 9 to 11, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And Hebrews chapter 1 verse 13 teaches us that God has said to Jesus, "Sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool." The Lord himself taught his disciples in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 24, verses 27 and 30, "For as the lightning cometh out of the east, and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory." The climactic event which will herald the beginning of that mighty kingdom is given in Revelation chapter 19 verses 11 to 16. "And I saw heaven opened, and behold a white horse. and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture, and on his thigh, a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. How clear the picture is! The Lord Jesus Christ will come out of heaven in power and great glory, to subdue his enemies and set up his kingdom. Revelation 20 verses 1 to 7 say it will last for a full period of 1,000 years. And will never ever be superseded by another earthly kingdom. Just as clearly, he cannot come out of heaven unless he is first of all in heaven, immediately prior to his coming out of heaven. Summing up, is Jesus in heaven now? And if so, is there good reason or reasons for his presence there? Has it made any difference? Oh, yes, indeed. Reason number one, Jesus is in heaven now because of who he is in the glory of his person. He is God over all, supreme evermore. Reason number two, Jesus is in heaven now because of what he is, his moral perfection. Reason number three, Jesus is in heaven now because of how he lived. It is the only appropriate terminus of the perfect life that he lived here in this world. Reason number four, Jesus is in heaven now because of what he did upon the cross of Calvary at the end of his life here in this world. Reason number five, Jesus is in heaven now because of what he is doing as God's high priest above in heaven. Reason number six, Jesus is in heaven now because of where we are going. He is our forerunner, the guarantee that we too shall be there. Reason number seven, Jesus is in heaven now because of what he will be in all his glory, in his future universal supremacy in his kingdom, the kingdom of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Each of these 7 points is sufficient in itself. Together, they give us absolute confidence that the Lord Jesus Christ, Creator of the universe, Saviour of the world, is indeed in heaven at this very moment, awaiting the day when he shall be King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That will make a tremendous difference then. Let the assurance of it make a big difference in our lives now.